Open your Bibles at the 17th chapter of the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter 17. You'll find authorized versions of the Holy Scriptures in front of you in the pew. We're going to read from verse 1 to the verse 14 of this chapter 17. 17th chapter of the book of Genesis. Reading it with me, taking your time from me. And when Abram was 90 years old and nine, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. And I will make my covenant between me and thee, and will multiply thee exceedingly. And Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, As for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. Neither shall thy name any more be called Abram, but thy name shall be Abraham, for a father of many nations will I make thee. And I will make thee exceeding fruitful, and I will make nations of thee, and kings shall come out of thee. And I will establish my covenant unto me and thee, and thy seed after thee in their generations, for an everlasting covenant to be a God unto thee and to thy seed after thee. And I will give unto thee and to thy seed after thee the land wherein thou art a stranger, and all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. And God said unto Abram, Thou shalt keep my covenant, therefore, thou and thy seed after thee, in their generation. This is my covenant, which ye shall keep between me and you, and thy seed after thee. Every man child among you shall be circumcised. And ye shall circumcise the flesh of your foreskin, and it shall be a token of the covenant betwixt me and you. And he that is 8 days old shall be circumcised among you. Every man child in your generation, he that is born in the house or bought with money of any stranger which is not of thy seed. He that is born in thy house and he that is bought with thy money must needs be circumcised, and my covenant shall be in your flesh for an everlasting covenant. And God shall stamp this reading from his most holy word with a seal of approval and infallible blessing. Turn with me to the 17th chapter of the book of Genesis. We have been studying milestones in the pilgrimage of Abraham, the father of the faithful. And we have noted in the book of Genesis certain dates and years that the Spirit of God has put in the record concerning Abraham's pilgrimage. If you look with me at the last verse of chapter 16, you read there, and Abram was 86 years old, 86, when Hagar bear Ishmael to Abraham. That birth was outside the will of God. It put Abraham into the position where God had to cease talking to him. And the next chapter tells us when Abram was 90 years old and nigh, 13 years God was silent. 13 years in the Bible is the years of apostasy. Every time you see 13 in the Bible, it's pointing to apostasy. And here was Abram. He had gone out of God's will. He sought to fulfill God's promise of an heir by taking Hagar to be his second wife. And God ceased to talk to him. For 13 years, we have no record that God answered him or God in any way communicated with him. But then we come to the end of the 13 years when Abram was 90 years old and nine. The Lord appeared to Abram. And notice what the Lord said. He said, I am the Almighty God. Because God is Almighty, even in circumstances where the people of God fail, you cannot intrude in the Almightiness of God by your sins or your sinning. You, of course, will reap what you sow. But Abram reaped what he sowed, but God was still Almighty. And he said to Abram, you haven't walked with me, but I'm calling you now to walk again before me. And be thou perfect. There is always forgiveness with our God. Do not wander in thy pathways, dear Christian. Get back to Calvary. Get back to the blood. Get back to your first vows and your first dedication to Christ. He'll receive you. He's the Almighty God. He wants you to walk before him, for he is perfect. And notice that he says something more. He says, I'm going to do something with you, Abraham. I am going to make my covenant between me and thee. And you are worried about your seed, and you are worried about who would be your future heir. You don't need to worry. I will multiply thee exceedingly. And what did Abraham do? He fell on his face in penitence. And when God is dealing with you, there is only one thing for you to do, to fall on your face and be penitent. A broken and a contrite heart, God will not despise. And God started to talk with him. Isn't that beautiful? The talks commenced. He talked him to him in Ur of the Chaldees. He talked to him in Haran. He talked to him all through his pilgrimage but because of his sin and going out of God's way and choosing the world's way and the way of the flesh, the talking had ceased. But here, not on the move of Abraham, but on the move of God, the talks recommenced. They were back on their old relationship, the friend of God, talking with a God who was his friend. What a blessed time it must have been to Abram. He fell on his face. Oh, to fall on our faces before God. To have the right attitude of heart and penitence. To let our prayers be softened by our tears of contrition and of repentance. And then God will surely talk with us. Now notice that the first blessing that he had was he got a new name. I hope you have all studied the people who got a new name in the Bible. Let me give you a hint. Find out who first in the New Testament got a second name. And you will find a parallel by this first man here in Genesis who got the new name. But who was the first person in the world to get a new name? Well, dear sisters, it was the woman that got the new name. You see, when Adam met Eve, he called her woman. She said, she shall be called woman. Adam called her woman. But after the fall, Adam called her Eve, the mother of all living. But I'm not going to talk about that today, although I could. It's a most interesting study. But would you look with me at verse 5? Neither shall thy name any more be called Abram. But thy name shall be called Abraham, for a father of many nations have I made thee. You know, it doesn't say that a father of many nations I will make thee. He had already done it. In the unchanging decree of divine predestination, on the immutability of God's word, when God says something, it's done. And no one can alter it or change it. No one can weaken it or remove it. It's done. He says, a father of many nations I will make thee. No. Have I made thee. And I will make thee exceeding fruitful. And I will make nations of thee, and kings shall come out of thee, and I will establish my covenant between me and thee. What a beautiful personal relationship this was. God was indeed real to Abraham. God wants to be real to us, the living God, the Almighty God. But tell me, how did he change Abram's name? Very simply, he inserted into the Hebrew name Abram the fifth letter of the Hebrew alphabet and changed the name from Abram to Abraham. He just altered it by one
letter. And what letter was that? The fifth letter of the Hebrew alphabet. Five in the Bible is the number of grace. The number of grace. And God put into Abraham's name a monument of grace. And he changed his name. Thank God there was a day God changed my name. I was a sinner. I deserved eternal death. But I came to Calvary. And God put into my name grace. Where sin abounded, grace did superabound. And I got a change of name. I became a new creature in Christ. You don't become a new creature in Christ, you know, by baptism. These silly ecclesiastics who say to us, if I put a drop of water on a little baby's nose, it's converted. It's born again. Rot! If I thought I could get people converted so easily, I'd have brought the fire engine with me today and hosed you all down and said, you're all well. Water will make you wetter, but it'll not make you any better. Better remember that. We're living in a day when there's a resurgence of the damned black heresy of baptismal regeneration, which is a deception. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of preaching of Jesus. I remember sitting in a meeting with W.P. Nicholson in this district, and he said, I want you to sing that hymn until the unbloody Unitarians at the corner will hear us. The power is in the blood of Christ. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth me from all sin. The number of grace. It's grace that saves man. What is grace? Grace is the free, unshackled mercy of God. It's the mercy of God that saves you. And if you go down the chapter, look at verse 15. And God said unto Abraham, as for Sarai thy wife, thou shalt not call her name Sarai, but Sarah. What did he do with her name? He put the same letter into the middle of it, the fifth letter. So Abram became Abraham. Sarai became Sarah. They both partook of grace. And if anybody needed grace, his wife needed grace, for she led him astray. A wife is a great thing. A good wife and a godly wife, who could measure her value? But sometimes the wives of good men have led their husbands astray. Of course, I better be very careful and say, and many good women have been led astray by bad husbands, and I might get no hard looks as people pass me by at the end of the service. But let me say this, if ever a woman needed forgiveness, it was Sarah. She needed, for she led Abraham into this awful 13 years outside the will of God. But she was changed too, because you see, it's mercy all the way. Grace there is my every debt to pay. Blood there is to wash my every sin away. Power there is to keep me spotless day by day in Christ for me. Dear child of God, there's mercy with the Lord. Don't believe the devil today. Don't you believe the devil today when he tells you there's no mercy for you. There's mercy with the Lord. And he will truly give you rest. by trusting in His Word. Now please note something carefully. That after God changed Sarah's name, Abraham fell on his face the second time. And this time he fell on his face and he laughed. The laughter had come back to his soul. The joy had returned. 13 years of misery. And in a few seconds, when God stepped in, he fell again on his face. And he laughed. He laughed, and we read that he staggered not at the promises of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. And the blessing came over in Galatians 3 and verses 14 to 18. We read that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Brethren, I speak after the manner of man. Though it be but a man's covenant, yet if it be confirmed, no man disannulleth or addeth thereto. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not unto seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. It's through Christ that we get the new name. It's through Christ we get the new peace. It's through Christ we can laugh at all our difficulties and cry in God's name, it shall, it must be done. Abraham re-established in his position as the friend of God, opens up his lines of communication with his God. And he takes his place again. But what about Ishmael? It wasn't Ishmael's fault what happened. It was Sarai's fault. It was Abraham's fault. It was Hagar's fault. But God is a God of grace. And you know what you read in verse 20? And as for Ishmael, I have heard him. Behold, I have blessed him. Oh, what a sweet word that must have been to Abraham. Because Abraham loved Ishmael. Abraham loved his son Ishmael. You've done wrong. You departed from God. You'd followed the foolish counsel of Sarah. But he loved Ishmael. And God said, look, in grace I have heard your prayer for Ishmael. And I have blessed him as well. You know, when a man is blessed of God, everybody in his family shares it. The blessing of God is contagious. And when a man is really blessed of God, his family, I'm sure you can look back, can't you, on things in your family that highly displeased you and made you angry. And yet you took it to the Lord in prayer. And what happened? The Lord heard you in his grace. The Lord forgave the sin. He cleansed away the sin. And in the very place that brought sorrow, God now bringeth joy. Isn't he a great God? He starts off this chapter by saying, I am, what is he? I am the Almighty God. Nothing can stand in the way of God. A lot of Christians today limit God and say, God cannot do that. I'll tell you one thing God cannot do. He cannot feel. One thing he cannot do. And he cannot lie. And he cannot die. He's the everlasting God. Put your trust in him and in him alone. Now what happened? There was immediate obedience. Look at verse 26. In the selfsame day, the day that God told them to take upon their flesh the sign and mark of circumcision, Abraham and Ishmael his son were circumcised, and all the men of his house, born in the house, and bought with the money of the stranger, were circumcised with him. He fulfilled God's commandment to the letter. And when God gives us grace and gives us pardon, you know what will happen? And gives us blessing in our family, he'll give us the grace to obey him. For to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. May God bless his holy word to our hearts. And next Sunday we'll look a bit farther, and we'll look at a man who knew God and could not only talk to God, but could plead in prayer effectively for the deliverance of his loved ones from the judgment of God. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, we thank thee for thy good word, and we thank thee for its encouragement, and we pray that we may revel in the grace of God, and rejoice that by grace we are saved through faith, and that not of ourselves. It is the gift of God. And if there be those here lost in their sin, we pray that you'd bring them to yourself in mercy for Jesus' sake. And everybody say, Amen.